You know, on these last four Sunday mornings in December, we are focusing on the difference it makes because Jesus did come to Bethlehem. And we've said it a little differently than that. We've said what a difference it would make if Jesus had not come to Bethlehem. Now, God gave me that thought the last of May. And sometime with more time, I want to develop where I was and what was going on at that time. But think with me this way. The last of May, none of us are thinking about Bethlehem. We're thinking about it's the last of May and the summer's coming and all that. Well, that thought came to my mind. And really, I just thought, well, you know, thought came to my mind. But what happened, it kind of kept resurfacing. And then, at a later time in the summer, the thought not only came back to my mind, what difference would it make had Jesus not come to Bethlehem? Some little bullets began to come to my mind. And one of those bullets was, had Jesus not come to Bethlehem, there'd be no solution to our sin problem. And then another bullet was, had Jesus not come to Bethlehem, there'd be no clear picture of God. And then just, I thought out of the blue, but it wasn't really out of the blue at all. I was going to discover. The thought came, had Jesus not come to Bethlehem, there would be no guidance of the Holy Spirit for you and for me as believers. And then I realized that the Spirit of God had put in my heart four different thoughts. And of course, the fourth one, and we'll talk about next Sunday, had Jesus not come to Bethlehem, we'd have no source of peace. And I jotted all that down at that point, fearful I would forget, and said to John, in December, I want to preach on Sunday morning. I said, I feel like God has given me something that would be good for the church. And so I started preparing all of this. And then, of course, we read about this whole situation in the Gospel of John. Jesus talks about this whole idea about the fact it is important that he did come. In John chapter 16, now we're picking up in the middle of a conversation that Jesus had with the disciples after they had left the upper room walking to the Garden of Gethsemane. So as they were walking along, Jesus said to his disciples in verse 5, I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Well, understandably so. The disciples had been with Jesus in a very intimate way for 3 years. And now all at once, he's telling them again what he has already told them. He's going to be leaving them and going from them. Well, obviously their hearts were filled with sorrow. But in verse 7, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. He said, it is to your advantage that I go away. He said, look, guys, you're going to be better off with me gone than you would be if I stayed. He said, for if I do not go away, the helper, if you're a Bible underliner, underline that word helper. The helper, the Greek word is parakletos. It could be translated helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor. It's talking about the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. That is the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 13. Jesus went on to say, however, when he, that is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. And if you underline those little words, guide you. That is one of the functions, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully. In Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit lived among God's people. But at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, he came down to live in God's people. It's very, very different. In the book of Romans, you might jot the verses down, look later. But in Romans chapter 8, in verses 9 and 11, the Bible teaches us that the Spirit of God dwells in us. And the Bible says, if the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, then you are none of His. So when you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, make you a Christian, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit Himself, came to live inside of you. It is a remarkable, remarkable thing. And you say, well, what does He do? I mean, He lives in me. Well, one of the things He does, He guides His people. And for all of that to happen, think about it. Before the Holy Spirit could come down, Jesus had to ascend back into the heaven. In other words, before Pentecost, there had to be the ascension. Before the Holy Spirit could come down, Jesus had to go up. But before Jesus could ascend back to heaven, there had to be the resurrection. And then, before the resurrection, there had to be the crucifixion. And before the crucifixion, there had to be the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. So you just see the progress of the whole thing. He came to Bethlehem, later the crucifixion, then the resurrection, then the ascension, and then what? Then comes the Holy Spirit of God down to dwell in the believers. It is a marvelous, marvelous thing. And one of the things He does, He guides us. Now that little word guide that you see in verse 13, that word literally means to show you the way. To show you the way. It's translated here in one word, guide, G-U-I-D-E. But the idea of the word is to show you the way. That's what a guide does. A guide shows you the way. You hire a guide, what does he do? He shows you the way. Well, that's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. He shows us the way. Now here's the question. How does the Holy Spirit guide you? The Bible is very clear. He dwells in you, and one of His functions is to guide you. Well, how does He do that? Well, if you'll take your bulletin, we're going to deal with that this morning in a rapid way in the little time we have. One of the ways that the Holy Spirit guides us is by His Word. You have it in your hand, by the Bible. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible says over in Peter that no prophecy is of the will of man, but godly men, men of God, they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So one of the ways the Bible guides you and guides me is here. He guides us by His Word, by the very Word that He wrote, that He spoke to the men that did write. That is how He does that. Now, we could give illustration after illustration after illustration of that. I think of that verse as, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, the Holy Spirit inspired that verse to be written. It's in our Bible, and that verse is to guide us. And that does not mean that believers should not associate with unbelievers. That would be the very opposite of what God put us in the world to do. As we interact with unbelievers, we have an opportunity to share our faith. What that verse is talking about is intimate relationships. One of those would be marriage, like a Christian marrying a non-Christian. It normally doesn't work out very well. Now, you know, when they fall in love, they say, well, I know he's not a believer, but I'm going to share Christ with him and lead him to the Lord, or I'm going to share Christ with him and lead him to the Lord. That sometimes happens, but it's the exception. And the reason it's the exception doesn't work out very well. If the unbeliever marries a believer, and then as in all relationships, there come issues, and the believer is going to settle his or her issues based on what the Word of God teaches. The unbeliever, they don't believe this is the Word of God, so they're not going to the Bible to settle their issues. So they're trying to solve problems, but they don't even have the same standard by which to solve the problem. John talked about tithing. The Bible says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees that you should tithe, but don't neglect the weightier matters of the law. So what happens? That's the counsel of the Holy Spirit to guide us. Well, people come up with all kind of reasons why they can't tithe. Some say things like, well, as soon as I get all my bills paid, get all out of debt, then I'm going to be a tither. Mark it down. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. They're going at it their own way. They're not going at it God's way. God blesses when we let His Spirit guide us. A second way the Holy Spirit speaks is by directly speaking to our hearts. By directly speaking to our hearts. I think over in the book of Acts in chapter 16. The Bible says the Holy Spirit forbid Paul and Silas and Timothy from going to Asia to preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit said, no, stop. You're going that way. I want you to go a different way altogether. Now, all of us in our lives, if we stop and think about it, have had the experience of the Holy Spirit of God directly speaking to our heart. For example, that's how I became a Christian. As a boy, the Holy Spirit directly spoke to my heart, and I realized that God was saying something to me. This is how you became a Christian. You may not remember the date, nor the day, nor the hour, but you will remember, if you're a Christian, when you felt the Holy Spirit speak to your heart that you needed to pray and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, come in your life and make you a Christian. This is how I knew to be a minister. I was in the business world. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to my heart. It was a process of time. Made it very clear to me I was to leave everything I was in, and God had called me to be a minister. So you've had these same kind of experiences, maybe not to be a minister, but in other things you've done in your life. Those are precious times when the Holy Spirit of God speaks directly to our heart. This is how I knew 30 years ago to leave the First Baptist Church in Sulphur Springs, Texas, to come be the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Pasadena, Texas. Now, the pulpit committee for months had said to me, we feel God has led us to you to come to our church and be the pastor. And they were so patient with me. And they were sensitive that I was trying to know what God wanted me to do. But here was a situation. I had to have a word from God. I couldn't rely on five people to tell me what God told them I'm supposed to do. I needed God to tell me what I'm supposed to do. And as the months went on, one Thursday afternoon, I've shared this story before. I'll not share it again for time's sake. But God directly spoke to my heart. I had not even been thinking about this church. It was dismissed in my mind. And God made so crystal clear to me, this is what you're to do. It is amazing. It is a wonderful thing. You know, this is this series of sermons that I've shared, how it kind of came. I didn't realize at the time, but back in the last of May, God directly spoke to my heart about this sermon theme. What difference would it make if Jesus had not come to Bethlehem? And then the little four bullets under. All of that, God spoke directly to my heart. Interestingly, this morning, I got up about 4:45, and I thought before I looked my sermon over one final time, I best have my quiet time with God. So I got my Bible, and I read my proverb of the day. Then I went back in the book of Psalms and saw where I had left off yesterday, and I said, well, let me read some Psalms, and then I'm going to move over and read in Matthew. I'm reading through Matthew this month. But in the book of Psalms this morning, I'm just reading along. Now, like, you know, I've read through the Psalms numbers of times, and my Bible, they're just all marked up, so I'm just reading along, nothing. And all of a sudden, I come across Psalm 86, verse 12. Psalm 86, verse 12. I've read the verse many times. It's underlined in my Bible. It's highlighted in my Bible. But this morning, when I got to that verse, it just, like, it jumped off of the page. It's an amazing. It's the verse says, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. And it was just like the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, this verse is to be your new life verse beginning January. Now, my life verse since September the 17th, 2014, I've had the same life verse. Psalm 16, verse 8. I will keep my eyes always on the Lord, And with him in my right hand, I'll not be shaken. That's NIV. I've memorized that verse out of the NIV. I won't go into when God spoke to my heart about that verse, but that verse has been my life verse. Every day I pray that verse. I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him, I write him and I'll be shaken. This morning, the very thing I'm preaching happened to me this morning. God said, you are now going to have a new life verse starting in January. And here's what it is. So I got me a little card. I have it with me. I wrote it down to help me begin memorizing the verse. And I thought, my gracious, I am experiencing what I shall soon be preaching this very morning. I was not looking for a new life verse. I was happy with my old life verse. But God said, nope, new for you. And I bless the Lord for that. All of you have had times in your life where the Spirit of God about some decision or something God wanted you to do would speak directly to your heart. That is one of the ways that the Holy Spirit guides us. Now, another way the Holy Spirit guides us is by closing doors and then sometimes by opening doors. I go back to Acts chapter 16. The Holy Spirit forbid Paul and Silas and Timothy to go to Asia. He closed that door. But then he opened the door and sent them to Macedonia. And in your life, and many times in my life, God has opened doors and God has closed doors. Now, let me say a little word about God's closing doors. Here's something. This is just my own conviction. I don't have a Bible verse to say this is the truth, but it's my conviction. My conviction is when God closes a door, he's going to later at some point open a better door. And if I had time, I could illustrate that in my own life. But let me say a couple of words of wisdom about this matter of opening doors and closing doors. You might want to jot them down. First of all, listen carefully. You guard against opening doors. Let God open the doors. I see that oftentimes in the profession I'm in, ministry. Preachers trying to open a door to this place and open a door to that place and open a door to yonder place. Look, let God open the doors. I've seen it in the business world. Men trying to climb the ladder, move up the line, get the bigger job. And we do this to open a door. Look, just let God open the doors. He'll open the doors at the right time in the right way. Second, this is very, very important. Trust God with doors he closes. That's hard to do. Could I ever illustrate that? But here's my testimony on that. As I look back in my life at doors God closed that broke my heart at the time, those turned out to be some of the best blessings in my whole life. And man, could I tell some stories at that. I didn't like it when the door closed, but what I didn't know was that broken heart of that door closing would later turn out to be one of the great blessings of my life. And then the Holy Spirit guides us by the voice of another Christian. The Holy Spirit guides us. How does he guide us? Well, he guides us by his word. He guides us in these ways I've mentioned. But sometimes he guides us by the voice of another Christian. I think of that verse in Hebrews that says, do not forsake yourself from assembling together other believers. That's why it's important. We go to church. We have an advantage over those who can't come. Now, they can watch it, but what they miss the interaction with people. How many times when I've been around other believers, somebody will just say something. They might have no idea that what they have just said is helping me with something over here. Now, you've had the same kind of experiences. You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. This morning, if time permitted, I could tell you, and I would just use all of those who are now with the Lord in my 30 years in this church, men and women who are now with Jesus, that through these years, they've just said a little something. They've given a little advice. They've just made a little comment. And at the moment, it seemed kind of routine. And then later on, I thought, wow, God used what that person said to guide me. The Holy Spirit is guiding me through what that other person has said. I want to encourage you, hang around godly people. Hang around godly people. And number two, listen to what they say. At the moment, it may not be so profound, but later on, it may be the most profound thing you've ever heard. You know, as I think about this whole matter, the Holy Spirit guides us. Listen, the Holy Spirit does guide us. And I've mentioned ways He guides us. But here's the icing on the cake. Listen, He dwells in us to guide us. He empowers us. He gives us the courage. He gives us the faith to do what God has purposed that we do in our life. That's the great thing. The Holy Spirit. You know the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit? He's always present. He's always present. And not only that, the Holy Spirit is your greatest counselor. He's your greatest counselor. And not only that, the Holy Spirit loves you no matter what you've done. Not only that, the Holy Spirit never makes a mistake. And not only that, the Holy Spirit can change every area of your life that needs to be changed. Now, let me wrap up quickly with two questions. Number one, this is so important. Do you have the Holy Spirit living in you? Has there been a time in your life where you have felt the Spirit of God speak to your heart and you've prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and make you a Christian? You know, in the first service this morning, it was so beautiful. We gave the invitation, and people started. They started. They just kept coming. It's a beautiful thing. And some of them were coming to give their heart to the Lord. What happened this morning? Say, well, they heard the sermon. They heard the music. No, they heard the sermon, heard the music. They heard from God. Could I have an amen to that? Some of you this morning in this room, maybe you're a member of the church, been baptized. You may be a worker in the church. The question is, has there been a time in your life where you have felt the Spirit of God speak to your heart to trust Jesus for your salvation? Number two, and this will be the majority of you. You've already done that. Let me ask you this question. What is the Holy Spirit guiding you to do this morning? In the early service, He guided some to come for baptism. He guided others to come put their life in the church. But what about you this morning? Is the Holy Spirit this morning guiding you today to make a decision that He's made clear to you that you need to make? And my encouragement to you is, if that be you, in a moment, I pray you'll make that decision. I want you to bow with me. Father, we bless you and thank you this morning for the opportunity to just worship together with believers. God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, that He does dwell in us. And I thank you, God, that He guides us. And Lord, we've mentioned some of the ways He guides us this morning. But Lord God, I pray now for some who've never trusted Jesus. Oh, they may have joined the church. They may have been baptized. But they've never really had an experience with Jesus Christ where His Spirit convinced them that they were a sinner. And they needed to have their sins forgiven. And they trust the shed blood of Jesus. And they ask you to come into their heart and their life and make them a Christian. God, this morning, I pray the Holy Spirit would help some do that right now. And then, Lord, others this morning, they're already Christians. But here we are on this Sunday before Christmas, God. Your Spirit well may be guiding others today to come for their baptism. Others to come put their life in the church, or others to come for another reason. So, Lord, may we listen to you this morning. And as your Spirit guides us, I pray we will respond and say, yes, Jesus, is my prayer in His precious name. Amen.